Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the rotten borough of free speech. What does that even mean? I don't know, but I think we're going to find out. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send shekels to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. And Mark Collett, what is a rotten borough?
A rotten borough? I don't know.
Oh, I'm probably saying it wrong. Isn't there, like, back in the, 200 years ago, before some sort of reform, weren't there parliamentary seats for the House of Commons that only contained, like, chickens and sheep, and, like, the landlord could just
How would I know this, Patrick? This may be the case. This may be the case. This is a weird way to start a show, and to be honest,
I thought it was something that... Okay, that's something people at home will have to look up in Wikipedia. I don't know. It was a question. Maybe I've got the terminology wrong.
Maybe so. It's an interesting question, but one I can't offer an immediate answer to.
Well, you know, I've heard references to it, I think, both on Monty Python and Blackadder. You can imagine Rowan Atkinson saying, "His constituency consists of nothing more than a flatulent cow and a dead chicken."
Well, I will say this. I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but I do know that when you look at constituencies in the UK, it might be that some constituencies are absolutely huge, like the size of cities, but they're one single constituency and they're very low population, and they usually end up voting Conservative, whereas other constituencies are absolutely tiny, but very, very high population density. And it might be that a rotten borough or something is to do with the fact that it's a huge, huge constituency with very few people living in it, other than, you know, a few farmhouses.
Okay, yeah. So I'll just read the first paragraph of Wikipedia. A rotten or pocket borough, also known as a nomination borough or proprietary borough, was a parliamentary borough or constituency in England, Great Britain, or the United Kingdom before the Reform Act of 1832, which had a very small electorate and could be used by a patron to gain unrepresentative influence within the unreformed House of Commons.
Yes, well, I wasn't too far off. But look,
yes,
as good as his history lesson's been, I feel it's leading somewhere.
Yeah, well, and out of in the 1831 general election, the last one that would have been held before the reform, out of 406 elected members, 152 were chosen by less than 100 voters each. And 88 by fewer than 50 voters. So there you go. Anyway, Rishi Sunak has decided that he is going to hold general elections on American 4th of July Day. It's the American 4th of July Day. That's coming right up. So why did he do that?
Well, nobody knows. I mean, it seems like a real shock. I'll give you a theory, though. But firstly, it seems like a shock, and it was a shock to me because he could have let this go on until as late as January next year. And everyone who sort of valued themselves as a bit of a political analyst was saying he's going to let this go all the way to January, because the Conservatives are on a slide and they're about 18 to 20 points down in the poll, depending on which polls you read. And that's a long way to be down. And at that point, you're in a position where you know you're likely to lose, but you still have time to turn things around. So a party that's really far behind in the polls, and this is important to state, I explained this to Warren Baylock the other day, because he was like, how do you just call a general election? It's not like American elections that are fixed on a fixed timescale. The party of power has the privilege to call a general election as and when it sees fit, which is, you know, their privilege to do so. Anyway, this allows the party that's in power to have the say of when it happens. So, logically, the party that's in power with that privilege calls the election when it is most sort of expedient for them to do so. Now, that's usually when they're trending upward in the poll. So if they're trending upwards in the polls, that is when people will expect a general election. So people thought Tories, you know, 19, 20 points behind in the polls, they have the privilege of calling the election. There's no way they're calling an election now. Absolutely no way, because if they do, they're going to get slaughtered. But if they wait a few more months, things might have turned around a bit. They've still got time to sort out interest rates. They've still got time to sort out inflation. They've still got time to do some things that would be good for the economy or good for certain voters. And those are things like, you know, tweaking inheritance tax, which in this country is at a scandalous level, which is causing most families to, you know, be forced to sell their homes. You know, all of these things are fundamentally things that the Conservatives could have done. So most pundits, including me, said this is going to go on till, January of next year. At the earliest, he'd call, a September or October election. But this is going to go on probably to January. And they're going to do everything they can. They're going to start throwing money at things. They're going to start tweaking tax laws. They're going to get the interest rates under control. And they might even...
Hasn't Sunak proposed to bring back the draft? I mean, that's going to
rally everybody around him. We're getting to that.
Sorry. So, I don't mean to take the air out of your balloon.
No, so basically, instead of doing any of that, he's called the election really early. And he's called it at an odd time, because he's called it in July. And that means it's only 2 months after the last round of elections. And the last round of elections were very, very low turnout elections. But, you know, nevertheless, he has called this election for July. And this is very, very strange. Now, the first thing I'll say before I get on to your point, which leads to something else, is this is going to have a really negative effect, most likely on small parties. So small parties are going to really, really struggle, because fundamentally, they have just come out of a election. They will be depleted in terms of resources. They don't have the amount of resources as the big party. So when they've just fought local elections, Greater London Assembly elections, and then they bounce straight into a general election, they have very little time to prepare, very little time to muster their candidates, very little time to do all of the things they need to do. And that leads them to a position where small parties will either be depleted or won't have the time to organise. So this will centre everything even further on Labour and Conservative. So you could say that would be advantageous to the Conservative Party, because it would mean that it's less likely they will face challenges from smaller parties. They'll just be up against Labour. But also, that will likely lead to something a little different, which is fundamentally that the Labour Party is likely to get an even clearer run at victory. And this is likely to give the Labour Party a record majority, the kind of majority that would be in line with Margaret Thatcher or Tony Blair's majorities, which were huge. It could do that, because being 20 points behind in the polls is absolutely catastrophic. You know, that's sort of, you know, Corbyn, worse than Corbyn levels of behind in the polls. So this is all going to be very interesting. But why? Why would he do this? Well, some people might say it's to lock out the smaller parties, but there might be a more nefarious reason to this. And it could be based around military action in the Ukraine. Now, he's initially promising national service. Now, that's a stupid pledge, an absolute stupid pledge. I believe in national service, but only if you have a nationalist government. I don't believe in national service under a liberal democracy, because all national service means under a liberal democracy is that young people would be pulled into military training, quote unquote military training, where they would probably be trained more in how to think than they would be how to fight. But the other reason they might draw children into this, or young people into this, is to push towards getting people ready for either a war in the Middle East or a war elsewhere on behalf of the Zionist cause. Now, is this going to be a popular pledge? Probably not. But there is a theory that may or may not hold water. And that theory is that all over Europe, there is increasing talk right now of sending troops to fight in the Ukraine and to actually ramp things up a level. So people are talking about countries actually now declaring war on Russia. France have already sent French Foreign Legion troops there. There's been a couple of Eastern European countries saying they're sending troops there. Because as we said before, wars end for one of two reasons. The first reason is there are no more soldiers left to fight. And the second reason is there are no more supplies. They've run out of fuel, they run out of bullets, they run out of guns, they run out of tanks. So you've got the troops, but you just don't have any means of arming those troops or allowing those troops to fight on in a meaningful way. And what you've got in the Ukraine is record amounts of armor, artillery, shells and money, etc., pouring in, but a complete depletion of Ukrainian men, of Ukraine's ability to use the armaments they're being sent. So why would a general election change that? Well, the Tories are in complete disgrace at the moment, absolute disgrace. So if they said tomorrow that they were going to start conscripting people and they were going to start taking people to the Ukraine or bringing back national service without a general election in order to train people to fight overseas because we were moving to a war footing, that would probably cause their already unpopular government to completely crumble. But if Labour under Keir Starmer were to get in with sort of a 120 seat, 140 seat majority, the Tories were swept out of power, that would consolidate power to such a degree in Parliament that they could quite easily move to a war footing and do things that at the moment they couldn't do under the Conservative government. And my big worry is that fundamentally, if this was the case, if they moved to this sort of war footing with such a sizable majority, and also with it being the Labour Party who were doing it, I would expect that to be something that flowed through Parliament with far less problem than it far less problems attached than it would do if the Conservatives tried to push it through. So I think there's something up here, and I think it's bigger than party politics. Mm-hmm.
So I've heard a couple of people talk about this and say a lot of the same things you're saying. One was Alexander Mercuris, who also, he lives in London. One of the things he was saying was, by holding the elections early, and he talks about the uniparty, that the Labour and the Tories, for the most part, their policies really aren't that different. It's kind of a uniparty. And by holding it early, well, it doesn't give the Tories a chance to try to catch up. They're bound to lose a lot of seats. But by having it early, they'll still be the main opposition party. They'll be the second biggest party in Parliament, and it, like you said, It deprives the small parties of a chance to organize. And so, I mean, you've got people like George Galloway and Jeremy Corbyn, who aren't welcome in labor anymore, and they're anti-war and anti-genocide. Got somebody like
Nigel. I think Corbyn's still part of the Labour Party. It's George Galloway who's got his own party.
So I guess,
but he's an outsider within that party now. He's more of a fringe character.
Yeah, so I guess you could say in internal exile. Yeah, and then Nigel Farage or whatever group he kind of represents. These people, if given an extra 6 months to organize, they could make some headway, which they'll have a lot more trouble to make. So from the point of view of the uniparty, this is preferable. I heard somebody who I can't remember the name, but is supposedly somebody who's been elected to parliament the last four elections, and he was on a radio show, so I don't know his name, but I heard the voice, and he was saying that Rishi Sunak, that there's a big chance that Russia and like England is going to in some measure go to war with Russia, and Rishi Sunak just doesn't want to be a war prime minister. I don't know. I mean, that could just be weird conspiracy theory type of talk. I don't know. I mean, just because somebody's been in parliament for a number of years doesn't make them immune to weird ideas. So I don't know about that. But Rishi Sunak just doesn't want to be a wartime prime minister, so he's bailing out. And you know, if you're bailing out and you want to make absolutely sure that you don't win the election, then hey, let's reintroduce the draft. We might be going to war with Russia. Let's reintroduce the draft. Sounds like a plan. So I don't know. I'm just kicking that back at you. One last thing. In about 30 years ago, the longtime Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, I think he had been Prime Minister for about 10 years, but he was starting to lose popularity. He resigned. Got a woman named Kim Campbell took over as Prime Minister, and their party was called they called themselves the Tories, but it was a Progressive Conservative Party. That was the name of the party, and she led them to an election defeat the likes of which nobody's ever heard of. So they lost all but two of their seats in Parliament. So they went to being the majority. I don't know how many seats there are in Parliament. I'm sure it's less than in Britain, but they went down to two seats in Parliament. They weren't even the main opposition party anymore. The separatist party, Québécois, was the main opposition party. And the party disintegrated after that. There's a new conservative party that has formed since then. But, one thing is that the Tories are doing very, very badly. Now, they're obviously not going to win. But who knows what would happen 6 months from now? They might be decimated even more. So, I mean, it's a gamble. You could say, well, they could try to do some things to improve the economy and maybe save some seats for some of their more marginal MPs. On the other hand, they could continue to lose popularity and have some of these.
Simple with Colorado Shielji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
You could say, well, they could try to do some things to improve the economy and maybe save some seats for some of their more marginal MPs. On the other hand, they could continue to lose popularity and have some of these leftist and rightist small parties make some inroads and wind up not necessarily with only two seats, but maybe less than 100 seats. Who knows? So I'm just throwing that out at you. What do you think of that?
Well, I've actually heard of that example before, and it's definitely an interesting point. I think that at the moment, politics in the UK is very, very divided, especially over this issue of Palestine. And the Conservatives are sinking their own ship. They've completely failed on everything that they've set out to do. And it came as a pretty strange... pretty strange pledge, the national service one, because I can't imagine young people today voting for national service. I can imagine it'd be something that would be extremely unpopular. And not only would it be extremely unpopular, but the kind of people you've got in most sort of large cities, at least, would not be the kind of people that would work well in that kind of environment. If you look at Britain's population pyramid, obviously, when you look at the lower parts of that pyramid, and when I say lower parts are the lower age brackets, the higher parts of the population pyramid, the tip of the population pyramid, are people who are the oldest. So the very pinnacle would be people, you know, the few people over 100 in the UK. But the bottom of the pyramid, you know, the births area, that is the most non-white part of Britain's population pyramid. And when you look in these big cities, you have a huge number of, what can we say, diverse youths who are part of that bracket that would be entered into national service. I don't think those people would particularly like that. I don't think they would fit well into that kind of system. And I just don't think we've got the same sort of people we had back when we had national service. You know, it's all well and good saying we're going to bring something back from ye good olden days, but the fact is, if the people aren't the same as they were in the good olden days, they're not going to receive that policy in the same way that it was originally received, are they? And I think we're going to end up in a position where if you tried to do something like that, there would be absolute massive pushback. Not to mention, there would be a huge amount of people who simply weren't fit to do it, physically, mentally, etc., because we're just not in the same era. And I think that would be a massive, massive part of the problem in enacting such a policy. But I don't think it's a serious policy. I don't think he has put that forward as a serious policy. So, for example, if you were trying to win the general election, there are certain things that people would definitely vote for. There's obviously the issue of immigration, but they'd be hard pressed to fight on that because they've been fighting on that now for a number of years and have failed to ever enact meaningful policy to curtail mass immigration. So I don't think that's going to happen. Another thing that would be good to fight upon would be issues to do with things like inheritance tax and the economy, and specifically certain types of tax that prevent people from either getting on the housing ladder or keeping property within their own within their own families. He's not going to fight on that because he wants property to be ripped away from normal people. So he's not going to do that. So at this point, he's left in a kind of strange position. What can he fight on? And he's come up with this sort of very kind of like, you know, people will say, oh, it's a true blue, proper conservative policy, you know, something that would help everyone. But it's not. This is one of those desperate attempts at policy making that's probably been thought up in some, in some sweaty room in number 10 Downing Street where everyone's had far too much coffee, been up far too late and can't think of a single idea and everyone just wants to go to bed. So the answer is, hey, national service. But I don't think that's going to work. And I think if anything, it'll be a further turn off to voters. What's more, at the moment, no one's really talking about this. No one's proposing this. This isn't a big thing. You know, you'd probably get a better response if you suggested something else coming back, like the death penalty for, you know, convicted child abusers. You know, if it had called for that, you know, potentially that would have actually created a conversation that people would have wanted to have. I don't really think anyone wants to have this conversation about national service.
Well, I'm not sure where he got the idea from, but you've heard me mention the British sitcom Yes, Prime Minister. And are you familiar with it yourself?
I am, yes.
Yeah. And there was an episode where Prime Minister Hacker wanted to increase his popularity, and he decided he was going to introduce national service. And Lord Humphrey, who was the head of the bureaucracy, he was dead set against it. And he was talking to one of his own subordinates, saying, just go commission a poll that's going to show how unpopular it is. And his subordinate says, well, how do you know the poll is going to show how unpopular it is?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
And he was talking to one of his own subordinates, saying, just go commission a poll that's going to show how unpopular it is. And his subordinate says, well, how do you know the poll is going to show how unpopular it is? And with your indulgence, I would like to, this is 3.5 minutes. I haven't heard it for 25 years, but I'm sure it's funny and also insightful. So with your indulgence, I'm going to play it.
Go for it. It's your show.
Well, that silly grand design. Bernard, that was precisely what you had to avoid. How did this come about? I shall need a very good explanation.
Well, he's very keen on it.
What's that got to do with it? Things don't happen just because prime ministers are very keen on them. Neville Chamberlain was very keen on peace.
He thinks it's a vote winner.
Ah, that's more serious. Sit down. What makes him think that?
Well, the party had an opinion poll done. It seems all the voters are in favour of bringing back national service.
Well, I have another opinion poll done showing the voters are against bringing back national service.
We can't be for it.
Oh, of course they can, Bernard. Have you ever been surveyed?
Yes. Well, not me, actually. My house. Oh, I see what you mean.
Well, Bernard, you know what happens. A nice young lady comes up to you. Obviously, you want to create a good impression. You don't want to look a fool, do you?
No.
So she starts asking you some questions. Mr. Willey, are you worried about the number of young people without jobs?
Yes.
Are you worried about the rise in crime among teenagers?
Yes.
Do you think there's a lack of discipline in our comprehensive schools?
Yes.
Do you think young people welcome some authority and leadership in their lives?
Yes.
Do you think they respond to a challenge?
Yes.
Would you be in favor of reintroducing national service?
Yes. Oh, well, I suppose I might.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Of course you would, Bernard. After all you've told, you can't say no to that. So, they don't mention the first five questions, and they publish the last one.
Is that really what they do?
Well, not the reputable ones, no, but there aren't many of those. So, alternatively, the young lady can get the opposite result.
How?
Mr. Woolley, are you worried about the danger of war?
Yes.
Are you worried about the growth of armaments?
Yes.
Do you think there's a danger in giving young people guns and teaching them how to kill?
Yes.
Do you think it's wrong to force people to take up arms against their will?
Yes.
Would you oppose the reintroduction of national service?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that's 2 minutes. I don't know how funny the next 90 seconds are, but that's kind of what I've been wanting to play forever. I really like that. What do you think of that, Mark?
I think it's funny, but it's also true. And that is how pollsters do get people to say what they want to say. That's how they poll people on certain, you know, certain things. If they want, and you've got to remember, you know, opinion polls are usually carried out so somebody can publish them and tell the public that a sizable chunk of the public want a certain thing. So, for example, if the public are told the vast majority of people are going to do X, they want to do X. Like every year, you know, the newspapers will print, or they used to print. Anyway, this doesn't happen so much anymore now. But when I was a child, the newspapers would decide sort of which was going to be, you know, it'd be coming towards Christmas, and the newspapers would decide sort of which was going to be the toy that every kid wanted. And whether you'd heard of that toy or not, the newspapers would say sort of like, this is the toy that's going to sell out this Christmas. This is the toy that every kid's going to want. Well, how did they know that? Maybe somebody had paid them to say it. And at that point, every parent who didn't really understand what their kids actually did want for Christmas was flying to the shops in a flurry of activity to buy that particular present for, you know, little Timmy, because the papers had told them that's exactly what little Timmy would want, because, you know, that was going to be the must-have Christmas present that year. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens, you know, not just, obviously, you know, it's not about manipulating children. It was about manipulating their parents into thinking that that's what the child would want. And I think people are very easily manipulated, especially when they're told that everyone else is doing something, or everyone else wants something. So if you tell the people that national service is something that, you know, that every, you know, 50% of adults, you know, want national service reintroduced. Oh, do they? Do they? Why? Why? You know, oh, God, that's good. What was the rest of the poll? Well, you know, 10% said they weren't. They were against it. And those 10% were actually people who come from, you know, a certain background that you wouldn't want to be associated with. And, you know, 40% were on the fence, were ready to be won over, said they needed to hear more. Oh, my gosh, only 10% are against it. And they're from that kind of weird background of, like, liberal hippies. Oh, my God, well, I better be for it then. I better be for it. I don't want to be one of these people who are on the fence. You know, this is something I've got to get on board with. And I think that's generally how polling works. Polling is done to get an answer that, you know, the people who are paying for the poll want to get, so that they can publish that and manipulate other people within the, you know, within the public to support, buy whatever, you know, the poll was based around. You know, so, you know, are you buying something? Are you supporting something? Well, you will be after you've read the results of this poll. But why Rishi Sunak's doing this, I genuinely don't know. I genuinely do not have a clue, because, as I said, I cannot see for the life of me this being a positive populist policy in this day and age. I just don't see it. I just do not see our people in this country embracing this. I think it would be seen as out of touch, old-fashioned, and, you know, sort of tone-deaf. And I think the people that this would be imposed upon would be the people least likely to warm to it the most, or take to it. You know, you might get a reasonable take up of this kind of policy in certain parts of the country, maybe parts that are sort of traditionally conservative. But I don't think you're going to get a high percentage take up of this in places, you know, in inner city areas, especially not Labour areas, especially not multiculturalist areas. You know, I can't imagine the rapidly growing Muslim population going in for this. I can't imagine black population going for this. In fact, where I've actually seen, you know, black people and Muslims and migrants actually polled about things like this in the street, they will say, oh, well, I'm a migrant. I wouldn't want to go and fight for Britain. So this, to me, just seems completely disconnected from any form of reality. It's being done for a reason, obviously. Now, is that reason? Because they're trying to soften people up to see whether they would easily be conscripted for conflict somewhere like Ukraine, or is this being done just as a desperate attempt because it's all the Tories can bring to the table, because they've run out of every other populist policy that they could use. Who knows?
Yeah, it is baffling. And you know, when you hear that he doesn't want to be a wartime prime minister, and if you don't think very hard, say, okay, well, he's trying to make sure he loses the election. But he's going to lose the election anyway. And why would he want to be that decimated? I mean, there's no prospect for the Tories winning a snap election anyway. And to introduce something like this, which really doesn't seem like it would have any support, especially with the possibility of war with Russia being floated around, with David Cameron saying, oh, let's let Ukraine fire British weapons deep into Russia. It just doesn't seem, I mean, it really doesn't make any sense, and it's rather bizarre. Maybe someday we'll know the reason, but I don't know. By the way, so I mentioned David Cameron, and I guess he said that a week or two ago, and at the same time that Macron was making allusions to sending French troops to Ukraine, and the Russian, I guess it was the foreign ministry, they called in both the British and the French ambassadors for explanations, which, you know, that is something that's commonly done to show extreme dissatisfaction. To, you know, it's almost a punitive thing. So I don't know. Is there anything you make of that, like David Cameron's statements? And of course, David Cameron's not going to be, who was prime minister for what, 8 years or so, and at the
well, David Cameron's a real warmonger. You know, he was in charge of bombing Syria. He was in charge of overseeing the assassination of Colonel Gaddafi. This guy is not a good man. You know, he is a bad man. He is not somebody you want anywhere near, you know, sort of foreign diplomatic relations. He's a guy who wanted to be the next Tony Blair in terms of warmongering in the UK. This guy is a real negative. And I'll tell you this now. It's very interesting that all this is being ramped up, because as I said, Britain has never been less likely to be able to fight a war. And Britain's never, ever been in a position where we have a population who is so, anti-war or unwilling to fight for Britain. And this now puts us in a position where we are not ready for this. But despite us not being ready, our politicians seem more than ready and more than willing to ramp this up and absolutely go for it, which makes no sense because the two are sort of polar opposites. But some people have noticed that the recruitment adverts all of a sudden for the military have stopped focusing on diversity, and they've actually started focusing on young white men again. Why is that? Well, they know if they're going to start a war, they're going to need young white men to fight that war. They are not going to they're not going to be able to fight a war without young white men, are they? They're not going to fight a war on the back of young Muslims or, you know, black youths. That's just not going to happen. So, you know, what can we see happening? Well, I can see something here that is quite nefarious, and I can see something here where, they are moving to a position where Keir Starmer could be Blair 2.0, take Britain into a war, but this time it won't be something like the Iraq war. It'll be with a nuclear superpower. And a nuclear superpower is a very different kettle of fish to Saddam Hussein, because I would compare Saddam Hussein really in a way to Vietnam. Now, you know, Vietnam didn't turn out well for the Americans, but it's an easier war to fight because you're never personally going to be affected by such a thing. You're never, ever going to get actual blowback. You know, yes, young men are going to come home in body bags. Yes, families are going to be ripped apart. Yes, there's going to be a human cost, but you're never going to have American cities bombed. You're never going to have the kind of hell on your doorstep that the country will have that's being invaded. So Iraq was an easy war for Britain and America to fight, a relatively easy one. Russia is not, because not only would there be body bags coming home, if Russia was severely threatened, I have no doubt that they would use nuclear weapons. And Russia is far, far more able to use nuclear weapons than Britain, Germany, France, etc. Because Russia is a vast country. It's a vast country that has been building or has the world's largest nuclear arsenal. Not only does it have the world's largest nuclear arsenal, it has this vast space where it can hide people, disperse military leaders to, build bases into the sides of mountains. You know, it would take a long time to destroy Russia completely by nuclear weapons. It would take a very short period of time to do the same for Britain. Britain could be wiped out in a blink of an eye, and there would be no survivors. And I think that's a very dangerous position to be in. What's more, I think it has to be said that every single, you know, army or nation that have tried to subdue Russia have failed absolutely dramatically. It's never been successful. It wasn't successful for Napoleon. It wasn't successful for Hitler. It has been a disaster. And I certainly don't think it's been successful for America during this proxy war, where obviously Ukraine has been the proxy. You know, we've been told since the war broke out that it was going to be 2 weeks until Putin collapsed, ran out of fuel, and the economic sanctions finished him off. Yet here we are, how many years later, and the only thing that's running out is the number of Ukrainian men.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the prime minister on, I guess, July 5th is almost certain to be this Keir Starmer guy. I knew nothing about him, and even his name, I wasn't aware that either Keir nor Starmer were names. So you got this guy, Keir Starmer. I've never heard him speak. So give us an idea. I mean, is he in any way a formidable person? Is he simply an empty suit? What's he like?
He's the kind of person that would appeal to Middle England. Now, there has never, ever been anyone elected in the UK that hasn't appealed to Middle England. That is what lost Labour a number of elections. That is why Corbyn couldn't get elected. You need to appeal to that broad middle class. And if you're not appealing to that broad middle class, you're not getting elected. Now, this guy is being set up to appeal to that broad middle class. He's married to a Jewish woman. He is a sir, and that carries some weight with people, but he looks the part. He looks like the kind of man that, you know, people would vote for. He wears his suit well. He's a family guy. He talks a very sort of middle-of-the-road game. And he's a kind of person, you know, like a Blair. And that's why he's been put into the position he has, because he is the only credible person that Labour have that could actually enthuse Middle England to switch over to the Labour Party and allow Labour to take a majority of this magnitude.
Well, he'll come in, presumably with huge numbers of new members of Parliament, new MPs, a lot of whom I would suppose are going to be black or Muslim or something. Is this going to change the complexion of the Parliament?
I don't know. I don't know about that. And I'll tell you why I don't know about that. Because at the moment, all people's nomination papers aren't in yet. So we don't know what's going to happen. We also don't know, most crucially, which Conservatives are going to be standing. Because there is a record number of Conservative MPs and former ministers all standing down. They are done. they are all saying, look, we're finished. We don't want this anymore. We don't want to be part of this anymore, which is very interesting in itself, because it does go a long way to suggest they know they're finished. None of these people want to be part of this disaster. None of these people want to be that MP that lost by a record margin. It's as simple as that.
So is there anything to watch that would be interesting for, you know, the Nigel Farage or, you know, what is it? Reform is that the party, or George Galloway? Is he organizing a party? Is there anything interesting to watch in this election?
Not Reform, because basically,
people often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Galloway, is he organizing a party? Is there anything interesting to watch in this election?
Not Reform, because basically Farage has said he won't stand for them. So that's that. They're done, really. Their talisman's gone, and they've only got a very short period of time to prepare. It's the same with Galloway's party. Now, people in this country, a lot of nationalists are like, oh, they're real big fans of Galloway's party, which is good, you know, fantastic, you know, support that by all means. But the interesting thing about Galloway's party is fundamentally they have got a Herculean task. You know, Galloway got elected and it was a big thing, a huge thing. You know, But he will likely lose that seat. And at the recent council elections, his party, they put in a good effort, but they only got 4 seats elected out of 19,000. You know, it's a tiny amount. And now...
So you think Galloway, who just got elected in a by-election a couple of months ago, you think he'll probably lose his seat?
I think it's highly likely. In fact, if he didn't lose his seat, I would be absolutely shocked. If he didn't lose his seat, I would be shocked. I would be completely shocked. I think he's going to lose his seat. I think that's basically more or less a foregone conclusion, because with the increased turnout and Labour's ability to pump everything they've got into that one area to unseat him, I think that's what happened. And you've got to remember, last time when Galloway stood and when he won his seat, there wasn't a Labour candidate. Labour appeared on the ballot paper, but they publicly stood down their candidate and refused to actually campaign for that candidate, citing anti-Semitism. So at that point, there was complete chaos in that particular seat. And that kind of chaos, you know, allows a third party through. And obviously, you know, that's what's happened. And I think that it's going to be, you know, and that's not saying I want Galloway to lose. I would love to see Galloway retain his seat. But I think in balance of probability, both reform and Galloway's Workers of Britain Party will fail. And I think they'll fail because it's too soon after the last elections. And not only is it too soon after the last elections, but it's also, there's just also too much for those guys to overcome.
Okay. And we only have like a minute left, but I'm going to ask just because they're probably pretty irrelevant. But the Liberal Democrats, who usually have at least, I don't know how many seats they get, but they get a few seats, right? Is this an opportunity for them, for what it's
worth? No. Lib Dems are usually very good when Labour are in power, and they form a good opposition to Labour because it allows the more liberal, progressive wing of the Labour Party to vote for somebody even more liberal and progressive because they feel Labour are going off track. And it's a party that people usually vote for as a way of punishing Labour, but without going conservative. So with a conservative government, it would be very, very unlikely for the Liberal Democrats to come out of nowhere and do very, very well. They might do in the odd seat. They might do in the odd seat. But it's more likely now to be a two-horse race where the Conservatives get largely annihilated, Labour get in with a record majority, and then the battle is on to see how that majority is wielded.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me. How do people find you and your other work?
Well, you find me on, obviously, you find me on BitChute, you find me on DLive, and you find me on Rumble. And I've got a video out at the moment debunking Tommy Robinson's talking points. So if you guys would like to go over there, check that out. It's a good video. It's a good video.
All right, well, thank you. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
There, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.